Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. It expands. It's a universal law. It's just the way life works. What you spend your time focused on, thinking about, obsessing about is what expands and grows in your life. If you really want to see this play out, look at someone that's into working out. Their diet changes, their sleep patterns change, what they read changes, what they buy changes, how they spend their money changes, their obsessions change. It's the same with money and investing. If you become obsessed with it, by nature, what you read changes, how you spend your money changes, who you hang out with changes. I lost a lot of friends when I became obsessed with becoming a millionaire. And you say, why? You know, why? Because your friends become uncomfortable around you, because you begin to evaluate everything differently. It's not a matter of not liking people or not wanting to be around them, but the people that you surround yourself with will, by extension, be the person that you become. So if you hang out with a lot of broke people, and you're constantly fronting them things. My son's running into this. He's 16 years old and he makes money. You know, the kid makes thousands of dollars a month as an influencer, marketing on Instagram and doing promotions for different companies. And he works, dude. The kid's working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, full time. I mean, we had to pull him out of high school to pursue his career. And so he works. Well, guess what? His friends don't make money like that. Almost none of them. So guess what happens? His friends, you get a lot of, well, it must be nice. Must be nice being, oh, you're so lucky. You know, you get a lot of that. And guess what? If you're the guy who's busting his ass, working 40, 50 hours a week, or you're a guy like me who literally goes broke every month so that he can build his real estate empire. And like, sometimes I don't know how I'm going to pay for some things because I'm going broke. And then to have a friend tell me, oh, you're so lucky. It's really annoying. And so you begin to separate yourself from people because they're on a different mission. They're not trying to do the same thing as you. They're living their life in a different way. And, you know, he's experiencing the same thing. And you will too as you begin to pursue something that's bigger than what average people will pursue. Go start telling all your friends, man, I want to try to become a millionaire as fast as possible. And watch the responses you get from people. You're going to get very few people who go, oh, yeah, I was thinking about that too. I thought about this idea or that idea. What you're going to get is a lot of people shooting down your idea. Oh, you don't want to do that. Or, oh, that, you know, careful. A lot of scams out there. For years and years and years, I've been involved in the network marketing business. And in that business, you're constantly trying to recruit people. And so you run into a lot of naysayers. Now, you may not like that industry, whatever, but it always shocks me the number of people that think everything is a scam, like everything is a scam without any sort of due diligence, that anything that would be outside of the box, anything that would be different or not normal must be a scam. There's just huge numbers of people who prescribe to that. They just see the world that way. They see the world. They don't see the world as opportunity. They see the world as very limited and the ability to break outside of average. Like, they can't see it, and so it must be a scam. If they can't do it, it must be a scam. Not to say there aren't scams. Of course there are scams, but, you know, a little common sense and a little due diligence, and you should be able to distinguish between a scam and what's generally an opportunity. I don't know if it's an industry that I would advise young people to do today. I think it's gotten a lot harder to promote. I think a lot of, you know, we've been conditioned. Unfortunately, if you've grown up in this post-internet world, you've been conditioned to get things pretty quick. You want to watch a movie, you click a button. You don't wait till next Thursday when the movie comes out at the movie theater, like I did as a kid. We would be anticipating movies for months. It wasn't on demand. You had to go wait in line, and then often you couldn't even get in on the first, because everyone went to the movies. There was no internet, so every new movie that came out, there would be this massive line. I remember waiting in line to buy CDs, like to buy an album. And not a CD, let's go back a minute. an album. Like, I had to wait in line at the mall to buy a stupid album. Now it's a click of a mouse. And so this is this constant social conditioning that if you want something, click a mouse. If you want food, hit Postmate. If you want this, boom, boom, boom. And there's this idea that you can just click and punch and port and outsource everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, building wealth isn't like that. And so this, my opinion, this generation has a hard time with it because it isn't instant. You can't just click a button. There isn't just one way. There's a lot of ways. And, you know, we've tried to do this with everything. A lot of people want to buy real estate outside of where they live. And see, the gurus make it look like you could just buy a house and then turn it over to a real estate agent. And then every month money would just come in. Fortunately, it's not like that. You know, I mean, I've had some real disasters. I don't know how in the hell you would handle that from outside of state. I don't know how you handle, you need a new complete subfloor change to include joists. I don't know how you would manage that from far away and not be subject to be ripped off. You say, well, I get two or three quotes. I can't get my mind around how people would invest that way. So for me, real estate is a local thing. It's something that I'm engaged in locally. And as you begin this process of trying to acquire wealth, trying to, you know, purchase individual stocks or purchase rental properties or launch a business or expand your business or take on these side hustles, your life will begin to, your social circle often will begin to shrink for a time. And you'll have to begin to replace people with new people. And as you replace people with new people, you want to go up the ladder. You want to go to people who've been doing what it is you're trying to do in a bigger way. Because you're typically only going to have as much money as your five or six closest friends. If you look around, divide the average, your income is probably in that group. Birds of a feather tend to flock together. We feel comfortable with people like us. Well, I don't mean a lot of people like me. Not that I'm special or, you know, some sort of savant genius. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't meet guys who get up every day and the purpose is to expand their empire, to grow their rentals. I want more houses. I want more stocks. I want more money. To manage my money, to take my millions and manage it, or to run my business, my marketing business. I just don't meet people who wake up to do that. I meet a lot of people wake up to go to their job. I meet a lot of people who, you know, they're not doing what it is they want to do. And then when I meet people who are doing what it is they want to do, their art, people like my son doing his makeup art, or people that are musicians, or people that, you know, that are this or that, they tend to be guarded people because so many people have tried to take advantage of them. And so if you begin to talk to them about money, people get weirded out. I once had an opportunity at a party that I was with my son there was a girl there and she was a Getty. You know, Getty Images from Getty Oil. He was one of the richest men in the world. And so as I'm there, I begin to look into her. I can't help it because my son said, goes, hey, that girl's a Getty. And I'm like, what do you mean Getty? Like John Paul Getty? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, what? So I start looking and she's like the fifth level down. It was her great great grandfather or something, you know, pretty far extended, but still rich. And I can't help it. I have to talk to her about this. And so I go up and I say, hey, I understand that you are a Getty. And then all of a sudden the conversation gets super weird. Like she can't have this conversation with me. And I could get it. Maybe there's a lot of people trying to take advantage of her or her position or her relation with her family. But truth is, she didn't know jack fuck about money, is what I think. She didn't make this money. See, when you didn't make the money and you've been handed the money, what conversation can you have about the money? You didn't earn it. Now, if someone hands me money, I'm gonna take it. And if I drop dead, my son's gonna get millions of dollars. Good on him, right? But that's a different, like, we're not going to hang out. Like, this person isn't doing what I'm doing. They were handed a kingdom. So now they just have to keep the kingdom. I had to build the kingdom from bottom up, from nothing. Now I got to try to keep the kingdom while at the same time trying to expand the kingdom and deal with the forces of life. And so this probably wouldn't be a person that I would be able to talk with or communicate with. One of the 10 pillars of success is being able to effectively communicate and talk with other people. So like-minded people, how to interact with people. And so your friend group is going to change. And I would suggest to you, don't fight too hard to keep them. Now, these may be friends, girls and boys, and you know your riding partner, people that were in your group, your posse, whatever you called it. And these were, you know, when you're in high school, these were your boys, your girl, whatever. But now you're 20, 22, you're 23, and you may feel compelled to fight to keep this relationship because we were so close. But people change. Loyalties change. Religious views change. Views on money change. Life changes. The planet, life is hard. And circumstances begin to mold people, to change people. And so be careful for the relationships that you fight for, because those relationships will either bring you up or bring you down. So every time you're in a room, you're either the smartest guy in the room or you're not the smartest guy in the room. You're the richest guy in the room or you're not the richest guy in the room. Get it? And so you want to spend a certain amount of your time with people that are above your level, but not freaking annoyingly. Not annoyingly. You know, you're not, hey, could you be my mentor? I get this all the time. It's so stupid. No. Why would I do that? Like, I don't even know you. I'm busy. Why would a guy who's busy building his empire, building his kingdom, stop for a complete stranger and go, why, yes, I would like to impart all my knowledge to you. Like, you know, like Mr. Miyagi or something. It's not how it works. People think there's this mentor thing is like you're supposed to physically come to their house and hold their hand. That's not what it's about. Most of the people that I consider mentors, I've never even actually spoken to them. You know, Wallace Wattles, who wrote the book, The Science of Getting Rich, had probably the second most impact on my life. He was dead before I was born. And I consider him a mentor. Like, his advice in that book has guided, has been a guiding light in my life. It's been a path. And I've never met him. Never met him. You know, I've tried to mentor people on how to approach the stock market. And one of the things I love about the stock market is it's so accessible to anyone, like with a click of a mouse. Real estate's not that way. I love real estate. And on average, all of my real estate investments, I get about a 20% a year return. And on my stock investments, I get about a 10% return. Well, that's twice as good. Real estate is twice as good. But they're different asset classes. You know, my wife isn't going to be able to manage 25, 30, 40 houses when I die. It'll all be sold, you know. Maybe I get it big enough where there's employees and she can do that. I don't know. But here's what I know. Anyone can own stocks. You know, you could be an 80-year-old lady and know zippo about investing or finances. And if you have a well-built, diversified portfolio of income-producing stocks, you're just going to have money coming in. But if you own a big portfolio of real estate and don't personally oversee it, don't manage it, it won't be long until you have some serious problems. Don't believe this bullshit that you can outsource real estate. It is not true. It is a lie. You have to manage your real estate. If you don't, you will end up in a serious problem. Or you can be like the investors that I buy houses from. I buy a lot of houses from other investors after they've just run them into the ground. I would be embarrassed to sell the house. I actually take pride in my business, in the products I produce, in the books I write, in the stocks that I own. Like, I actually take pride in my ownership in Pepsi. I'm up over 100% and it produces like $1,000 a year in income. What's not to be proud of that? Like, I picked that stock 13 years ago. It's done nothing but increase in value and produce cash flow for me. Why would I consider selling that just because Trump decides to have a tariff attack with China? Why would I let the assets of my family, assets in my portfolio, why would I make any decisions based on that based on what's going on around me in the world. This is like letting friends influence your decisions. So when you have friends around you who don't want to be millionaires, they don't want to buy a bunch of stocks. They just want to party, hang out, have a good time, have some sex and all those things. But here's the thing. You can do all those things and build wealth. Like I do all those things. I party. I go partying. I drink every night. You know, I mean, I do all these things that other people do. I just don't do them at the same pace because I'm busy building my empire. And so here's the way that I do it. I find a house. I fix up a house for the next 4 to 5 months. Every single dollar I make usually goes into that house. Boom, 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 boom. And finally, when it's done, they're going to give me a deposit check and a rent check. Now, it's a lot less money than I've put in. You got to understand that, right? It's an investment. A lot more money went in than I just was handed. But I'll take that deposit and that first month's rent, and guess what I do? I go on a little vacation. So I take my family, you know, it's probably going to be about $2,000, and we go do 4 or 5 days somewhere, and we eat whatever we want to eat. We eat nice restaurants, you know, $200 a meal. We stay at some nice 4-star hotels, and I usually spend more than the two, but I live it up. I didn't pay for it. They did, right? That's the beauty of investing. So I reward myself. I just don't do it every day. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's in moderation. So I'm rewarding myself. All these things that people think they're missing out on by not investing, I'm doing those things. I'm just controlling when I do those things. Now, if you follow this path of building wealth, of building your empire, whether it be through real estate, through business, or through stocks, or like me, through all, I own a business, I invest in real estate, I own stocks. Like, I love all of these. I'm not, you know, I'm agnostic, man. If something's on, like today, this last month, I've been acquiring shares in Pfizer, and I've been having to scale back on some of my real estate renovations because I've been putting money into Pfizer, and it's going to push out this house a little bit further. But I have a window in time right now. The stock is down almost 20% on the year. Like, I have a window of time that I need to get $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 into this stock. Now, I already have $5,000, $6,000. So I'm trying to get my position to $10,000 while it's on sale. And once I hit $10,000, I'll stop. I'm done. That's it. I'm done. And then, like Pepsi, over the next 10, 15, 20 years, I'll just reap the rewards of that season, that moment in time where I exclusively focused on getting money in Pfizer. Make sense? And so that's how I've done it. Investment after investment, house after house, day after day, week after week, month after month, with this one intention: to every day grow a little bit richer every day. And along that path, you're going to refine your process. Your friend group is going to change. The people that come in and out of your life will be different. So I don't hang on to friends who no longer fit who you are. It is okay. It's bad for them and it's bad for you. The best thing you could do for those friends is to set an example, not to lecture them. Don't sit around lecturing, oh, you need to do this with your money and you need to do that. Don't do that. Just tell them what you're doing. And that's what I do. I said, listen, I tell them all the time, dude, I'm trying to get rich. When you say it like that, dude, I'm trying to get rich. What are you doing? That's all I needed to say. I didn't need to lecture after that because they ain't doing that. And they got to sit with that shit. And then when they run into me a year later and we're talking, I said, bro, I'm still trying to get rich. And then, you know, a friend of mine that I do that to all the time, I do it to strangers. Hey, how's your day? Trying to get rich. And they always laugh because they assume I'm joking. I'm not joking. I'm not joking at all. My wife used to say, Gerald, stop saying that. Why? I'm speaking to the universe. What you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. Attention, universe. I'm trying to get rich. Could you help me out? See what I'm saying? That's different, right, than a guy who's dealing with struggle. That's a different way of approaching it. And I deal with struggle. Been divorced. I've been sued twice, had serious medical issues, 3 surgeries. I've been sued by my own son, wrongful death lawsuit, Like all this shit that can happen to you in life, I've had it. You know, months where I couldn't invest because I was paying for lawyers. Like these things are going to come at you. You know, the Bible talks about putting on the full armor, the helmet of salvation, right? The shield of faith. And it begins to equate this body armor with how to be a good and faithful Christian, right? Now, this isn't about that, but that analogy is beautiful. This is why the three keys to successful life, health, wealth, and mindset. So while I'm going through all of these trials and tribulations, doesn't keep me from exercising. Doesn't keep me from reading and studying on money so that when the time is right, I know what to do. See, some of you, if $1 million fell in your lap, you wouldn't even know what the fuck to invest it in. You wouldn't know at all because you haven't been studying it. Literally, if you gave me $1 billion, I could have it all to work tomorrow. Or at least trying to get it to work tomorrow. It'll probably be hard with that kind of numbers, right? But the universe is only going to give you what you're ready for. So if you're hanging out with friends and you're all making $30,000 a year, you're just going to keep making $30,000 a year. Because you're telling the universe. You're confirming it. You're saying, listen, these birds of a feather flock together. This is my feather group. This is my group. These are my people. These are my people. This is who I'm comfortable with. I don't want to upset these guys. I want to fight for these relationships. And so you stay in these relationships that, okay, so spend the rest of your life common and average because you never pursued anything bigger. You don't want to do that. You want to begin to pursue it bigger as fast as you can, immediately. Don't wait on your peer group to catch up. Don't try to talk them into being something they're not. You be you. You let them be them. And if they're good friends, they're going to support you on your journey, right? And so you don't need to fight for friendships. They should just come natural and easy. So be careful who you surround yourself with. In the same token, be careful of the gurus that you surround yourself with. I listen to a lot of these guys. But I listen to it now. I've come to realize that I listen to it at a much, much higher mature level than other people. I'm not as easily swayed. So when I hear them talking, you know, one of the guys that I love Grant Cardone. His book, Sell or Be Sold, Be Obsessed or Be Average, The 10X. These are phenomenal. I question whether he wrote them. They're so good. You know what I'm saying? Because I listen to him talk. And sometimes he can be so inspiring. And sometimes he says the dumbest shit. I can't even believe it's coming out of his mouth. It's so stupid. And I'm like, this is the guy that wrote this book? You know, because he'll start saying dumb shit. Robert Kiyosaki does it too. He wrote the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, had more influence on anybody on planet Earth. And then if you listen to him, he says the dumbest shit personally. A house is a liability. This is so, I can't comprehend how people buy in to the idea that owning a house is a liability and not an investment. It's so stupid because everyone that I know who's an investor in real estate who has millions of dollars all agree. Their house is an asset. Their house. One of my good friends, he owns 120 plus rental properties. 120, right? That's pretty good. He's pretty rich. He bought his house for a couple $100,000. He put $100,000 down. Today, 7 years later, his house is worth $800,000. It has appreciated over $100,000 a year because he bought a undervalued property, just like he buys rental properties. He bought an undervalued house in a good neighborhood that needed work. He fixed it up. He approached it like an investment. And guess what? It's now worth almost $1 million. And he's been getting a 3% loan on $200,000. When he leaves there, he will have profited over $50,000, maybe $100,000 a year for every year he lived in the house. And yet there's gurus that'll tell you, don't buy a home. And this generation listens to it because of the respect these men have and the influence they have. So you have to begin to listen to gurus with wisdom in the same sense that you listen to your friend. If you have a friend that's good with computers, you call him up when it comes time for computers. You don't ask him about Dayton, right? And so begin to be wise and begin to, you know, push some people you might need to push out. But most people, if you just stop talking, and if you just do you and you just speak about abundance and building wealth and stocks and investing and business, whatever it is for you, your job, your career, what you're doing in school, these things will take care of themselves and just let it happen. Let that process happen. and guard, be open-minded. You know, I talked about a lot of people in networking or network marketing think everything's a scam, but yet there are a lot of scams, right? And so we have to be open-minded, but that doesn't mean we have to be gullible. So you want to be open-minded that anything is possible, but not so open-minded that you're gullible. So when a guy says, yeah, I do, you know, 50% a month or 100% a month trading binary options or Forex, or you're not gullible. You're like, bro, if that's true, why wouldn't Warren Buffett be doing that? Why does Warren Buffett only get 19% if you're getting 100%? Make sense? So you wisdom, and wisdom comes with time and experience. Hey guys, this is Gerald Peters. Thanks for listening to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. If you don't have a copy of my book, You Don't Have to Die book, it's completely free. If you'd like a copy for your friend, I'd be happy to send your friend a copy. Also, if you'd like to join my little group of happy stock traders, I have a book entitled The Money Flow, where I teach my stock trading strategy. The book is only $25. The reason I charge $25 is once you read it, you're going to ask me a question. And if you're going to be taking my time, you need to be compensated, right? It's the laws of the universe. This also helps me narrow down the group. And I know I'm only dealing, talking with serious people. We work on this thing through Instagram. I post a lot of the stocks that I'm buying. I post the dividends I receive. I post why I'm buying, and I share the trading strategy. If you just follow along, you'll figure it out. But by purchasing the book, if you want to dialogue with me back and forth, I'd love to. I'm always looking for like-minded people. God bless.